weird, time-sensitive, or just not long enough for a full episode, this is bonus content.
Hello and welcome to a special GaryCon 10 edition of bonus content. I'm Mike Perna, but let's face it, I'm definitely going to be the least interesting voice that you hear on this episode. Sadly, I was not part of the team that went out to Lake Geneva this year. That honor went to Sean and Daniel, who represented the board, as well as a team of volunteers, Zach, Hope, and Chuck. In case you were unaware, GaryCon is an annual convention put on by the Gygax family to remember Gary Gygax, who is famous for his role in creating Dungeons & Dragons. In his honor, gaming enthusiasts and legends of the gaming world converge to remember Gary the best way they know how. That being getting together and playing games all weekend long. While the convention predominantly features role-playing games, which just makes sense, we were asked to bring back the board game library to the event. It was our privilege to bring this particular part of the gaming hobby back to GaryCon, and we look forward to doing so again in the future. While much of the time spent running the game room was actually running the game room, which went late into the evening, I tasked Daniel to make sure he grabbed some audio from the event to share with you folks. And he definitely delivered. The first bit of audio that you're going to hear will be a voice that's familiar to anyone who's been listening to the podcast for a while. You'll either have heard us mention him almost countless times, or you've heard his dulcet tones when he's been a guest on the podcast. You know him, you love him, he's the official chaplain of GaryCon, the geek preacher himself, Derek White.
Hey everybody, it's Daniel Fisher with Game Store Profits, and you know, it's been a crazy weekend so far, and we're sitting at the board game library. We actually found a little alcove we can sneak off to, and I got a special guest for us right now for some extra content, and that's the geek preacher himself, Derek White. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing great, Daniel, man. How's your con going?
Dude, this has clearly been one of the best cons I've ever been to. And you know I go to Gen Con, and I love Gen Con. And as I've been telling people here today, like, I don't know if I could go back to Gen Con with the same mindset.
Gen Con, could you sit down and talk to some of the great names in the industry like you did here?
No. And what he means is I've sat down, I've talked a little bit to Ernie Gygax, I've talked to Luke, I've talked to the Hickmans, I've met
Tracy and Laura Hickman, authors of Dragonlance.
And Ravenloft, my favorite D&D module.
Just in case some of your listeners out there don't remember who they are.
Yeah. And it's been awesome.
Got to talk to Margaret Weiss,
yes,
too, didn't you?
Yeah, we actually stored some of their board games back behind the back, and they've been playing board games with us, or not with us, but around us and on the little table.
They're playing in the open gaming area.
I know. It's not like they're in some sort of secret area to play games. They're there to play games with everybody else. It's so cool.
Yeah. GaryCon's one of the most amazing conventions. Yeah. It's why if I can't make it to any convention in a year, not just because I'm the chaplain, but I come to GaryCon because it is the most amazing convention you can ever go to. Daniel, GaryCon, when the first convention was just free, anybody could come, had maybe 160, 170 people. This year, Luke has projected 2,000, yeah, but I'm pretty sure we're already up to 2,500. It is amazing. We have had people across the spectrum. You've got old school gamers playing the 1974 rules, all the way to people playing 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. There's every type of rule set you could like. You've got Shadowrun, you've got Call of Cthulhu. Everything is here. And guess what? We just had someone walk into the room, Zach Hughes, one of the great volunteers here, who has had the sad experience of having to room with me. Poor Zach. Thanks, Zach, for the Mountain Dew. That's right. We're drinking Mountain Dew, man. Oh, yeah. The elixir of gamers.
Diet Pepsi for me, folks, because it's still in it. It's been a great convention here so far, and it's just such an intimate setting. You know, at Gen Con, we have 50,000 to 60,000 people. You're fighting for tables, and here, people are just walking up and asking to play, and they're using the library that Derek helped us get set up. And you know, Derek's the reason why we're here. He is the man that was requested to bring in a gaming library to GaryCon, and he tapped inroads because we're one of the first.
You're not one of the first.
No,
you are the first.
Okay, we are the first tabletop gaming RPG Christian ministry out there, and it's been epic. And we love being here. It's going to have to become a yearly thing for us.
And you are the first group to ever be invited to a gaming convention. This is not like a Christian gaming convention or a church or anything like that. You are a Christian ministry that was invited to come and volunteer. And what has amazed me, Daniel, about Inroads Ministry is that everybody here is here on their own dime.
Yes.
Everybody here has spent money out of their own pockets to come and volunteer to be the hands and the feet of Christ to gamers, to just stand there and hand out games and doing it in the love of Jesus. And we're not overt about it, but people have asked, why are you doing this? They've signed up for the Tavern on Facebook.
Yeah. Oh,
if
yeah.
you haven't signed up, go to the Facebook and sign up on the Tavern. But they've signed up on that. They've signed up on your mailing
yes.
list. And people have been interested. And everybody, there has been nothing I've heard but positive comments. And I'm talking positive comments direct to me, but also positive comments when I'm in the restroom and I'm standing in a stall and I'm hearing people go, man, have you been to the board game library yet, man? That's so awesome. They brought it back. And so to know that a Christian ministry is able to make inroads, see what I did there? Make inroads into the gaming community in such a way. And I'm so excited about what's been going on. We're all brokenhearted. Mike Perna couldn't be here.
Yes.
But Mike has the beautiful experience of being home with the wife and the baby and dealing with
and
that
no
snow.
Power.
And no power came back on.
Yeah, it came on a little bit. So you'll get to see the Game Store Province, the standard full hour. Mike's going to be recording that here this weekend as well. But yeah, he was worried that he couldn't get that done. And
we've seen Mike Perna's doppelganger. I saw it.
Yes, we
saw it. There is a Mike Perna doppelganger here at GaryCon. Though he looks like he's about 10 years older than Mike.
Yeah, and we were sitting there.
But he aged well.
Yes,
so,
yeah,
so
very well.
Mike's aged well.
And I was like, did Mike show up?
And he lost weight, too.
And Sean's like, no, that's not Mike.
Well, that's all right. I put on the weight for both of us.
What has been your best experience, your personal experience so far at
GaryCon? I've had wonderful experiences, but I'm going to say the best experience initially for me was when you guys showed up and I got to meet all of y'all face to face. I mean, seriously, that has been a wonderful experience for me because I know your heart and your dedication. I've seen it online. I've heard it on the podcast. But to see the excitement and the joy radiating from Sean, from you, from Zach, from Hope, from Chuck. Oh, my God, Chuck is such a fanboy. But that was my initial just great experience to see you guys and to see the level of hard work y'all done. I mean, you got to understand, folks, this gaming library is going from 9 a.m. in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, and these folks are running it. This means they're not getting a whole lot of time to play games on their own other than showing other people how. They're not getting a lot of time to go to the restroom or eat something. I mean, thankfully, tableside service. That's right, GaryCon offers tableside service.
Yes, it's been excellent.
But, I mean, y'all's hard work has impressed me.
Thank you.
On the other side, I'll have to say, you know, I've met and gotten to know lots of people in the industry. But I've never gotten a chance to really meet Tracy Hickman.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to meet Tracy Hickman because this is his first year at GaryCon. So my fanboy is going out there because Tracy Hickman co-wrote one of my favorite book series of all time, Dragonlance. Wrote Ravenloft, one of my... See, you don't know how much I love the Ravenloft setting. Me and Daniel haven't had a chance to talk about that because I'm a huge Ravenloft fan. And so having Tracy Hickman here has been one of the greatest times for me. And, of course, being able to do the opening ceremonies.
Yeah, that was awesome.
To be at a gaming convention and have the owner of that gaming convention look to me and say, and now our chaplain will lead us in an invocation.
Yeah.
I mean, that blows my mind that I get to do that. And everybody knows I'm a Christian minister. And we've got atheists here. We've got Muslims here. We've got people who are spiritual but not religious. Yeah. We've got people from all walks of life, New Age, Wiccan, everything. And then we still see such a positive response. Has been awesome. Every year, that just still blows my mind.
Yeah, I had a experience, and you know, I was going to say so far my weekend the greatest experience up until this morning. I was going to say I got to play in a game last night. It was awesome. The DM was the greatest DM I've played under before.
Yeah.
And I played in Derek's game, but no, this morning I had a lady and a young girl come up to the counter, and you know, she was talking to us, and I was like, yeah, we're a Christian ministry that's based around board games. And she turned to the girl and said, see, I told you, Christians can be gamers as well. And that just
awesome.
It just melted my heart right there, guys.
Amen.
And then we just sit there and talked about our faith, and it was awesome. And I made a new friend today, so it's great.
That's amazing, man. I'll say, you know, we need to give shout outs and say their names. Okay. Zach Hughes.
Yeah, Zach's been great. Hope.
His wife has been awesome.
Yeah, she's playing D&D right now. We made her get into a pickup game. It's pretty cool. Yeah. She's playing, I think, the first edition, ain't she?
First edition, yes. First edition.
So she's having to deal with Thaco.
What's Sean's last name? I forget.
Sean Brooks.
Brooks.
Yeah,
Sean
this
Brooks.
Is the first time I've actually got to meet Sean in person. And
he drove all the way from New Jersey.
Yeah, and he is great. We're like board game brothers now. So.
I'm telling you. Yeah, like, you know, Mike likes to say we're flip sides of the coin.
Yep.
You and Sean are flip sides of the coin.
Yeah, we've been hanging out.
He's better looking than you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, a little bit taller.
he just rocks a beard. He has the power beard, and you cannot beat that power beard.
Yeah, I had to shave my power beard off. But.
So, and Chuck Cumbo.
Yeah, Chuck.
Charles has just been great. I just want to give him a shout out. Some of you out there who do know me may know I went through surgery a couple of months ago, so I still can't lift a lot. And when you're at a gaming convention and you're running games, because I'm running games here as well, it gets a little, the books are heavy.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I was reminded that these books are outside the weight limit of what I'm supposed to pick up.
Yes.
And so Chuck volunteered to be my pack bearer to my game, and then helped me with the game, looking through my notes and everything. And I would have thought that had been the most boring thing ever, but he did not make it boring. He was just right there helping out, and it was so funny afterwards. After the game, he's like, I don't care. I'm going to find a way to run a game of D&D. I'm just going to sit at a table if I have to just run a game with a bunch of NPCs. So he got his gaming bug turned on, which is awesome.
If you know anything about Chuck too, he runs a lot of online games. He has a Twitch stream as well. I'm gonna give a little shout out. It's GM Babuski. He's gonna start running games for us. He's run a game for us before with Inroads. And you know, we're gonna be working some more with him to get some more steady content for YouTube a little bit. Hopefully we'll get him working with Jeff as well, which you know, Chuck loves it, and he runs about 8 games a week. So
you got to meet your name doppelganger too.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, and Daniel Fisher is also in the tavern with Hammered Game Tables. We got to hang out a little bit today, yesterday, going over to his booth and stuff like that. And I posted a video of his tables, and he's having a great time here as well. So, and I'm gonna give him a shout out as well. I love seeing him at conventions. I get to see him at Gen Con, and now it looks like I get to see him at Gary Con. It's gonna be awesome.
So tell us, what's the strangest thing, Daniel, you've seen here at Gary Con? What has surprised you the most about Gary Con?
Really, it's just the intimate setting. Because you would think, being in the industry, you know, we have a lot of fanboys and weirdos and stuff like that. And the fact that all these namesake people are out walking around with you, talking to you. I mean, I stopped Ernie, you know, trolling through the hall. I said, hey, Ernie, can I get you to sign something? He's like, sure, just follow me to my room.
I told you that's all you had to do. And he was like, how do I get Ernie to sign something? I said, when you see him, ask him to sign it. That's it, man.
Yeah, and it's like Luke. I mean, I've had to run into Luke a couple of times with the issues we've had with badges and stuff. But Luke, they're so approachable. These people are so approachable. And you don't have to get all nervous about it. And you just got to say, hey, listen, I.
And it's just not old school people you have who are approachable here. You've got Jason from Pathfinder, who's here. They just announced their second edition.
Oh, yeah.
at GaryCon on the way, and Pathfinder people announced the second edition of Pathfinder.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mike Morales is supposed to be here this year from 5th edition.
Yeah.
I don't know if he made it this year, but he's been here. Satine Phoenix, YouTube blogger who does all kinds of gaming videos. She's been here. You've got all kinds of people, you know, across the spectrum of the industry, you know, and you would think, oh, well, you know, it's a small convention, but the beauty of it, it's so approachable. My only worry and my only fear is, you know, could it get too big? But as I've talked to Luke over the years, he doesn't want it to get so huge that people aren't approachable.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think that makes this industry, where we're a hobby in it, so different than even it was 10 years ago.
Yes.
Is that all the game designers have really realized, you know, that part of what we do is being approachable.
Yes.
You know, part of what makes people want to buy our games is knowing that they are people you can talk to. And I think many of them go into it because of their love of games, but it's also because of their love of other people.
Oh, yeah.
And their love of the community. I think that's a big part about it.
Oh, yeah. And guys, if you ever get a chance to come here, do it. It's great. I mean, just for the fact that you get to hang out with people like Derek, you get to play games with Derek, which is still, I'm still on that high from that game last night.
That was the most messed up game. It's Daniel's fault. He told everybody to take a right, and they avoided everything. They avoided.
But we got to the end really quickly.
They did. They got to the end of the game really quick, and I was like, and the worst part is what Daniel doesn't know is, you know, I'm not a DM that's just going to throw wandering monsters at you. I roll for wandering monsters. And so I'm constantly rolling behind the screen, hoping some wandering monsters would pop up. And they never would. And the worst part was they find this secret door that allows them to walk behind everything and avoid, like, a good quarter of the area. So they avoided every encounter but one.
And now this was basic D&D. This wasn't advanced.
Yeah, this is a Moldvay Cook basic D&D.
Yeah.
It came out before the Mincer box sets came out. So in the history of D&D, you of course have the 1974 rules. And then D&D split off. You're getting your D&D lesson here today, folks. So this is D&D 101. But you had the 1974 rules come out. Well, and they came out, people played them, and then Gary began to develop Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Yes. And the first book published for that was the Monster Manual.
Now see, and another thing is the book set that he's talking about would have been found in the Holmes book set. Not the Holmes, it's the Red Box.
No, the Holmes came first.
Okay.
Holmes came first, so you had the Holmes.
I got corrected, folks.
Yeah, the Holmes Basic Edition came first. I believe it was published in like 77 or 78.
It was 76.
Something like that. So it's published in the early 70s, and they got John Eric Holmes to publish this game, this version of D&D, which was, it was not meant just to be for little kids. A lot of people think Holmes was just meant for kids. But what it was to kind of give people an entry into D&D.
Right.
It was not supposed to be a separate product line either. Well, and then as the late 70s hit, they realized, you know, we do need a separate product line. So they were going to have, Dungeons & Dragons, TSR, actually had two competing product lines. Those of us who were little kids then didn't realize that. We thought they were the same system.
Yeah.
So what you had was what was called the Moldvay. Tom Moldvay made a basic D&D, which was called kind of the Red Box set, but it looked more pinkish.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And that's the one I cut my teeth on. That's what the first rule set I read. And then you had, then you had the Cook set, which was the Expert set.
Yes.
That came out. And that was kind of the basic Expert set for a little while. And then Frank Mincer really came in to TSR, and he did what is referred to as Beckme. Okay. And this is the basic Expert Companion Masters and Immortals. Say that five times real fast. And that's the next basic set, which a lot of people in the 80s cut themselves on. It's iconic because the Frank Mincer sets are all the ones that had the Larry Elmore artwork on the covers of the box sets. So, but the set I'm running is the one that's in between Holmes and Mincer. and it's called Mold Vet Cook.
Now, the Holmes box set is my white whale. One day I want a complete Holmes set. That's my thing. And
I think I may still have two of them.
Oh, really? See, folks, these are the wonderful things that could happen at GaryCon. But, and a lot of people don't realize.
You've got to be willing to come over and help me look through my storage room.
I'm pretty sure my wife might let me do that. But
I promise I'll only charge you a leg, not an arm and a leg.
The thing what people didn't realize was the reason why the Monster Manual came out before the Player's Handbook and the DMG was because you could use the Monster Manual with the box sets, and it expanded your world, so you didn't have to go out and buy like three new books just to start playing.
Technically, the Monster Manual was not supposed to work with the Moldvay Cook sets or the
basic
sets.
But people still used it.
But we didn't know that. So my generation came up. Those of us who were playing in the late 70s and early 80s, and I've talked to a lot of people who were like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So we saw basic D&D, and we thought basic D&D was what you did before you played advanced D&D.
Yeah.
And so we didn't know that, and so we just mashed all this stuff together.
Like most kids.
Yeah, I mean, and so this is why there are so many house rules out there. There's so much stuff from people who played during that period. And while it was really good for people I know who traveled around or whose families moved, especially military kids and everything, it was a little frustrating because the rules were never consistent for them. But for those who just kept playing with their same gaming group, it was never a huge problem. So that's one of the advantages, I think, of when second edition and third edition came out. Yeah. It tended to kind of give you an idea of what the rules are. And then if you house ruled, everybody knew those were your house rules.
Right.
So y'all got a... You didn't know you were going to get it. You got a history of D&D lesson today, man.
And I want to thank you all for listening to us. And I want to thank Derek for sitting down with me for a few minutes. I know he's got a busy schedule. Today he's running two games, and he's got another game starting here shortly. And hopefully I might be able to sneak away and watch it a little bit.
Marie Laveau, the voodoo queen of Louisiana.
But I love you guys. And again, thanks, Derek. And I'll talk to you some more this weekend.
Love you all, man. And all I can say is I appreciate these Game Store Prophets. They are some of the best people out there. And I love each and every one of them. And I absolutely adore Inroads Ministries. And Mike, me and Daniel send you our love. And we appreciate all the hard work you do. And know that you are constantly in our thoughts and in our prayers, and that every single person here working for Inroads is constantly thinking about you and appreciates everything you've done. And don't you ever forget it, brother.
Amen.
Let it be known, I didn't pay Derek to say those things about me. Yet. Check's in the mail, brother. Anyway, despite the epic grade name dropping in that sound clip, we don't have audio with any of the folks that they mentioned. Margaret Weiss, Tracy Alora Hickman, Ernie Gygax. Man, I was just about to give Daniel a ton of grief about that until he sent me the following clip. Now, we all know that Daniel's heart will always belong to HeroQuest, so it does not surprise me that Daniel sat down to score some audio with the creator of ElfQuest, the expansion pack for HeroQuest. Now, if you look at the BGG listing for ElfQuest, the designer will be listed as uncredited. However, we know better. Daniel sits down with Kathy Connor.
So, just go explain a little bit what you just explained to me a minute ago about the beginnings.
Okay. We moved to this area because Bill got a job at TSR.
Okay.
And shortly after that, Jim Ward introduced me to HeroQuest.
Yeah.
And through Bill. And I absolutely loved it. I loved the toys. I loved the set. I loved the simplicity of it because you could play it quickly and just have fun. You weren't...
It's like D&D Lite.
Right. And you didn't have to rules lawyer it. There was no stress. It was just fun, fun, fun. So at night, before Bill got home from TSR, I would set everything up and we'd play another game with it. And I always had it ready when he came home from work. And I played it all the time. And it was kind of a joke around TSR that Kathy would set up.
Yeah.
HeroQuest. Well, Mike... this is the MS. Yeah. Mike... Yeah. Mike... where's my husband? Whatever. The guy who worked at Milton Bradley had contacted Jim Ward and said, would you write a pack? Because they were going to release four. They were going to release the dwarf, the barbarian, the elf, and the wizard packs.
Yeah.
And they needed somebody to write the 10, I guess you do, it was what, five solos and then five group scenarios.
And the notorious blank page.
Yes, exactly. That one was hard to write.
Yeah.
And no one there could because they were on exclusivity contracts. But Bill said, you should give it to my wife because she wants to play it all the time. She can probably come up with a really good couple scenarios. And jokingly, Jim then called me. And he said, so you're going to want to write one? And I was like, yeah, yes I do. I will. So he gave me Mike's number. And Mike got in touch with me and told me what he wanted. And he pretty much let me create whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say when I was playing the original game was that it was pretty straightforward. Find a key, get out. Or find the treasure, get out. And I thought you could put more puzzles in it. A little bit, not harder, but just a little more.
Yeah, just make it, add another bit.
Exactly, exactly. Not make it super hard or change the rules, just a little something extra. And that's what I tried to do. I think, and it's been so long now, I can't remember, I think her name was Sinestra. And I wanted something a little bit more. So, and I was able to do that. I had a few puzzles, a few, you do this, you do that, and then you have to think a bit to move on, you know?
That's awesome. Well, like, for me, HeroQuest was a gateway drug.
Yes.
So, I was 15 when my best friend was like, hey, I got this new game. My dad bought it for me. I was like, all right. So, I go over to his house, and we play, and he's like, you like this? And I was like, yeah, this is great. He's like, I got another game. I was like, what's that? Because it's my dad.
I've given you a taste now.
He's like, it's my dad's. Let's play this. I said, what is it? He goes, it's called Dungeons and Dragons. So that right there was the gate. You know, I got to play D&D, do it. And then from that, me and him started, instead of collecting baseball cards, we started going to the comic shops.
Yes.
And so, and I got addicted to Warhammer, and, you know, more D&D. And then Magic the Gathering, and it was just
And
like,
then you're into card games, and then you go off into card games.
Yes, and the cardboard crack that takes everybody out there.
Yes, yes. And okay, I'm paying, you know, $50 for a piece of paper.
Pretty much.
A very expensive piece of paper.
So do y'all still play HeroQuest?
Yeah, in fact, Board Game Geek has a thing where you make a 10x10, and you want to play 10 of your old games 10 times.
Yeah.
And HeroQuest is actually on our 10x10 this year, because we actually said at Christmas, we haven't played that in so long, and I used to love it. I mean, it was like one of those games where you just want to play it more and more and more and more. And so it is on our shelf upstairs now. We have not started playing it yet. But, and I have the Barbarian pack, the Dwarf pack, and the Elf pack. I do not have the Wizard pack.
See, now, I only have that one copy.
You have the basic game.
Yeah, and it took me about a year to put it together, because when I got it, I actually wanted it on eBay, and somebody had it listed for $75. And I was like, that's a steal.
Oh, is that a good price for it?
Yeah, it was like, I want to say about 80% complete. It had, and the important part was it had all the cards, had all the furniture. The only bad part was it was missing a couple of miniatures. So, and I had a friend in the UK, and I had a friend in Australia that both sent me miniatures for it.
Yeah, and their sets, that, see, we had the original, I mean, the American one, but I also had the one from Britain.
Oh.
And the rules were a little different, and the art was a little different from Britain. So, we had them both.
And did you see where they tried to kickstart it off, and it got shot down by Games Workshop?
I did.
Now, what was all, do you know anything about that whole fiasco between Milton Bradley Games Workshop that went on? Or?
I bet the time, and to be honest with you, I don't remember what all went on.
Yeah.
I know that Games Workshop is very, very hard to deal with.
Yeah, they are.
Whether you're a supplier, whether you're running the shop, I mean, they're very hard to deal with. And I suspect that, I mean, Milton Bradley is big money and a big company. And I suspect that's what it was. I think, as I recall, and I don't know the details, but I believe what it was is Games Workshop just wanted too much concessions or too much this or that. And Milton Bradley said no.
Yeah. Milton Bradley, you can just shut
it's business.
It down.
You know, it's not a game company.
I really, though, wish that because of this game and the popularity of it, it's not that it had a huge popularity at the time, but it brought a new dimension to Milton Bradley, because up until then, all their games are
Monopoly,
cardboard pieces, and little. Yeah.
Yes, it was. For me, it was the first. Although at the same time, and I can't remember what company it was putting out, Space Hulk. And
Games Workshop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Space Hulk, for me, was the same way. I loved Space Hulk for quite a while.
Now, have you tried any of the other Games Workshop board games?
Oh, yes. We have even before Bill worked for TSR, we had Talisman.
Yeah.
We had the original Talisman, and we have every single expansion for the original Talisman except Dragon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Now, they've got a few newer ones, too, that actually are supposed to be Warhammer Quest, is supposed to be kind of like Hero Quest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the only thing I'm afraid of, because I hadn't really busted it out to play it since I brought it together, and we're going to do it this weekend, is did it hold up?
Right.
Yeah, and that's the
Can
only thing.
Can you push it through and make it as good?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And... I like Games Workshop because of Space Hulk,
yeah.
And I loved it for their original Hero Quest and stuff, but I'm not a real fan of the company, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the product.
Yes.
I'll just leave it there. And,
yes.
I mean, even before Rogue Trader, which is now 40K, a lot of people don't realize that Games Workshop did a lot of Dungeons & Dragons stuff.
Yes.
I mean, and the original home set of dice... that the Holmes box set that came for D&D that ISA came in it,
mm-hmm.
They were the ones that were supplying it in the UK. The same exact
box. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and a lot of people don't realize how closely, you know, they worked together with here with TSR and Steve Jackson and all them guys, because people don't realize that Steve Jackson's from the UK as well.
Right.
So,
right.
Pretty interesting.
And Steve Jackson, I adore.
He's great.
I adore him. Yes.
Hopefully one day I'll get to meet him in person, other than passing by him at Gen Con and going, hi.
Yeah, and looking at him with big dopey eyes, right?
Like,
yeah,
you make GURPS.
I met them. Yeah, yeah. I guess I got kind of spoiled because Bill was not at TSR during the original group of guys.
Yeah.
He was like in the second wave of guys and stuff.
About
and
second edition? Or
yeah. I mean, he started in 88 or 89.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. Near, towards the middle life of second edition, I believe.
Yes.
When Darlene was driving it into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
And they put out some good stuff, and they put out some stuff that was not good. And that's just all there is to it, you know. But it was a time when there was just a lot being put out. The one thing I will say that I'm thrilled about now, though, is just that board games have come back so strong. Not that I don't like role-playing games, but I was really... Kickstarter has brought back board games.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's great, and I love it, because the little guys can get their games out, too. I mean, and there's some good stuff. There's some junk.
There's some trash.
Yeah.
There's some real trash.
There's just people trying to make a dime.
Right.
And, but now the thing with what we do with Inroads is, I don't know if they explained it to you before. So we're a group of Christian gamers.
Okay.
And we feel that people spend too much time on their devices. You know, things like that. They don't sit down and have communication.
Right.
Or they don't build relationships and friendships. And so what we do is we... as a group, we want people to play together.
Yep.
And so we have hold game days at churches and if we can, at libraries and other centers, but we just invite everybody to play games.
I'll tell you what I did before I became very disabled. I had brain surgery and ended up in a nursing home and I had to quit working.
Oh, wow.
But my job, I was a behavioral specialist and an educational specialist for this county. And I worked with incarcerated youth, and at times I worked in the general population with kids who just struggled with social emotional issues of all kinds. And in my classroom, I used games to teach turn taking, polite interactions, arguing without hurting one another, coming to consensus. I used all kinds of cooperative games.
That's my favorite, by the way.
Me too. Cooperative games, but I also used language skills for people who really couldn't communicate to each other. I would do password and charades. So passwords is about using different words to get people to get your meaning.
Right.
Charades is about making sure you are understood without words. And there's another game called Moods, which is about inflection and emotions. And I used games literally to teach my curriculum.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it worked with kids who were incarcerated for really violent crimes.
Yeah.
They could sit at a table and work together to an end. And I am with you 100% that board gaming and role-playing game and gaming with people is a really healthy, fun way to learn all kinds of social skills.
Yeah. Yep. And we also work with a group called the Badonna Group.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard of them. No. Well, they're a group that actually deals with kids with disabilities, kids with...
I have a special ed degree.
Yeah, and they use board games and D&D and RPGs to help those kids.
Oh, yeah.
As well, and it's great. And a lot of people don't realize it, that that's what... I had friends growing up in high school that today would fall into the spectrum, but we didn't realize it by then. But when they started playing D&D with us, they're different people.
Right.
And it was great.
And it allowed them to be.
Yeah, and now today, because of the skills they learned playing D&D, they're
functioning.
Yeah, yeah, and it's awesome. And it's why I tell everybody, you need to learn to play a game.
Any game.
And if you find a game, no matter what anybody else says about it, and you love that game, play the crap out of it.
That's right.
Because it could be Monopoly. I hate Monopoly.
I hate Monopoly,
and everybody that listens to me on the podcast knows how much I hate Monopoly.
Okay, I will tell you something about Monopoly. Yeah. I don't want to play any game that to win you have to absolutely destroy everything everybody else did. Yeah. And that's how you win in Monopoly, is destroy what other people did.
Right.
I do not mind you beating me. I do not mind losing. But I don't want to walk away from a game being totally destroyed every time.
Yes.
That being said, I do play Zombicide.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sometimes you get swamped.
Yeah.
But you still played with other people. You didn't lose what you built. You didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can feel like you've won something. Okay. And I do, Monopoly is a horrific game. And many people, when I say I love board games, say, oh, I hate Monopoly. And I said, yeah, me too. And yeah, it's not a good game.
I think the only classic game I really love is Yahtzee. And you know, it's an old game, and it's good. And that's because I grew up, that's what me and my family played a lot of. That, and we played Monopoly, but as Monopoly as a kid, as me just sitting there with no money while the adults continued to play. It's no fun for a little children.
Or you build it up, and then someone just knocks it down. Yeah. And I don't need that.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a socially good game.
No, and I don't mind competing, but you said you liked cooperative games.
Yes.
For my birthday last year, I'm a 54-year-old woman, and for my birthday, my husband brought home Flashpoint.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen it?
We've got it. I have it. It's in my friend's place.
Okay.
I haven't just played it yet.
He brought that home for my birthday, and I looked at it, and it's a fireman game, and I looked at it, I said, Bill, what about my nature or my statements would lead you to believe I ever wanted to play a fireman game? Because I like any game, whether it's role-playing or board or card, I want to feel like I'm in the experience.
Yeah.
I want to be in the experience. And I said, why would I want this? He says, trust me, you're going to like it. And I said, I doubt it, but okay, you know, whatever. And I don't know where he heard about it. I don't know why. I love that game.
Yeah.
It's cooperative, and it's not just working together. You have to plan. Look, I'm going to take care of this fire, but you get those guys out. We're going to restructure this so it doesn't fall down on our heads, and you get the fire trucks over here. And you have a lot of communication, a lot of bargaining, a lot of I can do this, but you can't, so why don't we do it this way? And there's no right way to play it. And I like that.
Now, for me, my favorite current game right now is, because I have young children. I have a 12-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 1-year-old. Well, not 1-year-old. He's getting a big one. But at Gen Con this year, I picked up a game called Mole Rats in Space. I don't know if you've seen this, but you know the game Pandemic?
Yep.
It's made by the same creator.
Okay.
So,
do you mean Z-Man or the creator?
The creator.
Okay.
So the point of the game is there's 4 mole rats. And they're in a space station, and you have to get them. They have to evacuate the space station, so you have to get them all to the center of the space station. But you have to avoid the tubes that jettison you out in space, and you have to avoid the snakes. Now you can get a snake bite one time and use your health kit to repair it. But after that, if you get bit again, you die.
Okay.
But you can move your other players around as well. You don't have to just move your player around. So if you see an opening with the card that you have that would help somebody else, you can move it.
And get the help them.
Yeah. And the reason why I love it so much is my kids don't know how to play well together.
Right.
And so when I get that game out, they have to learn to work together.
Or
they're going to lose.
Nobody. And that's the point. And that's why I used it in my classroom. Because you can't do it alone.
Oh, yeah.
You're done. my grandson is a year and a half, and I was telling my boys, who are both big gamers, huge gamers, you got to start playing games with them now. And he said, well, he's one, what can we do? Well, I got him big dice, really big, and what I'm teaching him now is you roll, and then it's Meemaw's turn, and then I take them from him, and he gets all upset, and I said, don't worry, Meemaw's going to roll, and I roll, and I said, now it's Isaac's turn, and he grabs him, and he rolls, and he's just now, I've been doing that for about a month, and now he'll give them to me. So if he learns that one thing, that you take a turn, and then it's my turn, and then I'm going to give them back to you, trust that I will give them back to you, it's not done, I'm not taking them away, but this is how you take turns, then I've taught him every game in the world.
Take turns. That's awesome.
It is. It's awesome, and gaming is awesome, period, for all kinds of reasons.
Well, I want to thank you for talking with me today.
Oh, thank you.
So much. And, yeah, we've got games out here. If you want to grab something and play it, play it.
Thank you.
We're going to be here every night until 11, and
then
on Sunday until 2, because we have a 10-hour drive home.
Oh, my goodness.
I've often said that Sean Brooks is a man that doesn't say much, but whenever he does start talking, you better listen, because it's going to be gold. So it only makes sense that my last requirement for Daniel was to make sure that he got audio of the two of them talking through their experiences of the weekend. So, broadcasting from Saturday night at GaryCon, Daniel and Sean.
All right, guys, this is Daniel with Game Store Profits, and if you notice that cackle in the background that you just heard is our man, Sean Brooks. Now, a lot of y'all don't realize that Sean Brooks is hardly ever on the podcast because, well, actually, he's never been on the podcast because he doesn't like talking to people. He's such a grumpy old man. He's been at GaryCon with me for the last few days, and tonight is our last night here at GaryCon, and we're in the game meeting room. We probably have, what, 200 people in here, Sean?
Around it, yeah.
Oh, wow. There he is. He spoke, guys. So I just wanted to do a little blurb about some of the stuff that we've experienced today here at GaryCon in the past few days. And it's been a little hectic. So, Sean, what's it been like for you?
It's been really fun. We've been able to let a lot of people play a lot of games while we're here. We've been checking out board games to people and letting them just have fun.
Okay, well, of course, you're playing board games, so everything's going to be fun. So what's been your most memorable event in this entire convention?
Most memorable event? That would have to be, now you're going to put me on the spot here. It would probably have to be meeting or talking to all the people that came up. I forget her name, the elf from Heroes.
Elf Quest. If you didn't hear that, I did a small interview with a lady by the name of Kathy Connor. And a lot of you don't know because she was unaccredited, but she was actually the creator of the Elf Quest expansion for Hero Quest back in the day. And we talked to her a little bit and got to speak with her, and it was great. It was a blessing to talk to her. You know, my favorite event, or favorite thing that's happened this week is actually getting to hang out with you.
Well, yeah, of course. I get to hang out with you. And
a lot of y'all don't know, me and Sean talk a lot online, and we just don't really, we've never got to hang out together in person. I've never been up to Philly or Jersey or Cherry Hill. And
we're going to have to fix that, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's supposed to be coming down to Kingsport, hopefully, in my neck of the woods in October for Conapalooza. We've got us a booth there as well. And, I've had a great weekend. If you notice, I just posted, this is recording Saturday night. I posted some pictures of some guys. I kind of fanboyed over, and this is the guy
kind
from
of
Blame Society, which they did the Chad Vader web series, and they do beers and board games. And I just like, guys, can I get a selfie? And they're like, sure. They're really down to earth type guys, and I've just been doing. I think I've done 12 hours worth of painting classes today. I'm wore out and I'm tired.
I don't know if it was 12 hours.
Well, three hour blocks,
four classes, hour in the middle.
I got a break to clean up and time to use the bathroom.
Well, that last class was a big one. Now you had what, four tables?
Three tables. I had a total of 23 people in that class.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it's been great. We've got, if you can't hear him really, but right next to us we have our man Chuck. He's running D&D, a D&D session for some people. We've got people playing board games, people playing Dungeons & Dragons, and it's just been insane. Some of the things that's come down the pipe for us, like, you know, possibility of Luke Gygax helping En-ROADS out. You know, I just hear this constantly from people, mainly Derek. But, this is the first time a Christian tabletop gaming ministry has ever been asked to host a board game library at GaryCon or any convention as a matter of fact. And it looks like we may be asked to come back next year, which is great and exciting. And, oh, man, I'm going to love every moment of this. But, you know, Sean, is there anything else that you want to say before we let go with a little blurb of wisdom?
Wisdom? You're asking me for wisdom?
Yeah, you give wisdom all the time.
Right? Yeah, I give sarcasm.
See, Sean doesn't talk a lot, but when he does, you want to pay attention.
No. Like I said, it's been really fun. We got to meet a lot of people, got to talk with a lot of people. And it was like just being able to fellowship with people around here has been amazing. It's something that, this is the first con I've been to where I've actually enjoyed every minute of it. And it was just so much fun to, you know, talk to people and tell people about En-ROADS and, you know, show people games and tell people what kind of games they were having. So, and, you know, helping people with games. It's been great. And so now we got some people coming up to do the thing, to check out some games. And it's been simply amazing. So.
Sorry about that, folks. I had to step away for just a minute to talk to some people looking to check out a board game. But yeah, this has been great. It's probably been one of my favorite cons so far. And as you know, I go to a lot of cons, especially for Game Church. And we're trying to do a lot more cons for En-ROADS now. And, you know, this one here, it's completely different. It's not like Gen Con. Gen Con is like a trade convention. This here is a premier gaming event. People are here to just game. There's a little bit of shopping going on here, but not a lot. And people are so nice to you and very approachable. We have the Gygaxes. They're very approachable. And all the historical figures of Dungeons & Dragons. They just sit and chit-chat with you and come down and play board games with us.
Yeah. But we had Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman and all them playing down here playing games.
Yeah, we had Margaret Weiss, Tracy Hickman, and Laura Hickman down here. You know, that's the Dragonlance 3 and Ravenloft group. They were down here playing board games for like 6 hours yesterday. And it was awesome. And they were just mixed in with everybody else. So, you know, again, this is just one of those events where people come to just to have fun. But I just want to sign off here and just say thank you guys for listening to our little updates over the weekend. And I hope you all have a great and wonderful day. And remember, no matter how the dice falls, the game goes on. And I forgot that God is the game master.
And you mess it all
Mike
up.
Mike is going to kill me. See
you
guys.
You want me to get it?
This is why we can't have nice things. Good night, everybody.